is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Loving our lives in these dark times. Nobody needs to know our vibe. Cause they was out on Twitter spouting nonsense. They was on the ground just hating on us. They was on the record.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's a Culture Thursday. On this 24th of August, and we're opening the show with a little Bahamian culture. Did you know, do you know this young man called Giovanni? That song is called Sunset by Giovanni. Giovanni is a Bahamian American musician, hip-hop artist, and he is just amazing. Anyway, this song has been in his catalog for a long time, but Mr. Nuri, I don't know if you heard the chorus just now. He said they be spouting nonsense on Twitter. They be hating on us on the gram. And when I heard that song last night, it reminded me of the little international...
The basketball thing?
Yeah, dialogue going on between the Bahamas and Argentina. I see in today's paper, the Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture, the headline, "Do cry for us, Argentina." Youth, Sports and Culture Minister Mario Boleg responded to Argentinian critics of the Bahamas' male basketball team yesterday, saying they could cry as much as they want. Dear Bahamas, that right there is the appropriate response. To all y'all in the army, please stand down. Your show of force has been acknowledged across the globe, and we appreciate it. But the Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture has spoken on our behalf. If you don't know what was happening after the second win, this is the second win against Argentina in the tournament. After the win against Argentina, some Argentinian players were very upset and they critiqued the decision of Gordon and of the NBA in the Bahamas Basketball Federation to enable Gordon to play for the Bahamas national team. And that was quite a flurry. I didn't expect it, to be honest with you. I didn't expect the number four team in the region, if not the world, to be that upset about this loss, especially for such a small country competing against such larger countries. Anyway, that song is by Giovanni. You guys got to check him out. He has a number of songs. He's Bahamian American. He has a number of songs with Bahamian rooted artists like Shad Fur, Allian Rose, Rue, also known as Timmy from The Spot, not Timmy the MC and DJ, media personality, but Timmy the comedian and musician from The Spot 242. Morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning, man. How are you doing today, Aaron?
I'm good, thank you. Did you think that was Bahamian when you first heard it?
No, it was a smooth song, an easy listen to song. But I liked it. I mean, I liked it.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Yeah. Sometimes we get to expand our horizons about what Bahamian means. I got some music for us today, some songs I'm sure Mr. Nuri has never heard before. I'd see if I could surprise him. But let's get going with our Sand Dollar Live read. Today, Thursday the 24th, and tomorrow, Friday the 25th of August, central bank representatives will be giving out Sand Dollars at Solomon Supercenter. Show your Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend $18 or more in Sand Dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. This offer is limited to the first 100 customers to show their Sand Dollar-enabled wallet at each location. One top-up per person, so as many people as possible can experience the Sand Dollar. For more details, visit any of the Sand Dollar social media pages or call 302-9880. And for our listeners in Grand Bahama, Freeport, the Sand Dollar team, is on the way. Experience the digital Bahamian dollar at Sawyer's Fresh Market, Oak Street, on Friday, August the 25th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., and at the Raven Mall on Saturday, August the 26th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Come out, learn more about the central bank's digital currency and Sand Dollar top-ups on us. Sand Dollar is on the move. Again, that's Freeport, August 25th and August 26th. Mr. Nuri, I got a question to throw out before I tell my producer, get the second song ready. Play the, I know I told you something before, play the one by KB, the one 101. I got a question for you. We're not doing our Sand Dollar trivia this week, I don't think. But I got a bunch of trivia questions for today. According to Wikipedia, and this is for the audience as well, according to Wikipedia, how many parties ran in the 2021 general election?
For the Bahamas?
Yeah, for the Bahamas.
Interesting. 20 what?
2021.
That's when the election was?
Wasn't it?
It seemed like 10 years ago.
It's a long time, yeah, eh?
At least like 5 years time for a new election.
Yeah.
No?
I mean, it feels like time for a new election. Not quite like 5 years, but feeling menace-ish. You guys check out, former Prime Minister has a letter to the editor, I think, in today's Guardian. Check it out. I see we got a caller on the line. Producer, let's go to that call. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning, Pumpkinita. How you doing?
I'm well, and morning, Nuri.
Morning. You called to answer the question?
No, I called to say, star baby, Sabaline, watch your face and lemonade to the Argentinians. You remember that one?
Yeah.
I sure Kermit could find that song.
That's a whole song?
Yeah, man. There was a song about that when we the reason why they do that, right? When you're mad or something like that. Now, culture, because we're still celebrating 50 years. Of independence, right?
Right.
That's a part of my 50 years. Your grandmother could tell you that. Or your great grandparents, or your auntie.
But who's the artist? Who's the artist?
I never knew the artist, but I think it's someone out there can give you the artist, one of the old Freddie Money's them and all that.
Okay, but.
Or Eddie Minnis still living.
Give me some.
I think there's one in Eddie Minnis song. Okay. 5 or 9.
You don't have any more clues, context clues for my producer?
I mean, start again.
I need more context clues to be able to find the song.
Yeah, man, you drop me. That's enough.
Sour cry, baby, sour life. Okay, thank you, Pumpkin.
Yeah, you'll find that. But let me just say to them, that's what they are, because they serious about that protest?
No, I don't think it was a formal protest, was it?
Or, I mean, they serious about what they say, though.
But I think they were just saying it feels unfair. But it can't be unfair because there are rules in place to enable it.
That's,
I mean,
right.
I say that. No, that doesn't mean it's not unfair, but I think they need to come at it at a perspective of not just equality, but equity as well, right?
Well, also, it gave you FIBA rule.
Say that again. It gives you what?
FIBA. F-I-F.
Oh, FIBA rules. Yeah.
Right. They that go to the rule. And there's a good, I won't call his name on radio, but I probably gave him what's up. He's probably willing to come on your show and explain those rules.
The FIBA rules.
And then to Olympic next year.
I got you. Yeah, man.
Have a good day.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
Yes, that one and only original.
Absolutely. Producer, play that next song for me, the one by KB. This is a new song, Nuri, off of KB's newest album called Cuba.
Okay.
Since school is about to open, this is called Bahamian Sweetheart in 101.
Bahamian Sweetheart in 101. Bahamian Sweetheart in just for fun. Whoa, whoa. Sweethearting is an art. To fool the wife, you must be smart. Have plenty of nerve and lots of cash. And if you ever get catch, boy, that's your ass. Most leaders like go for Lauderdale. Just follow my plan and you will never fail. Get up off the plane first, wait, then you walk. Cause them Bahamians and they terminal like to talk. They like to spread big gossip and they mouth like fish. So you just walk off like you don't know who she is. Pick up the bikes, tell her meet you at Terminal 3. You go rent the car and drive where she should be. Circle twice and make sure duck down low. Cause who a looking boy, you may never know. She jumps into the ride, now the mission done. And that's how you do the Sweetheart 101. Hey! Bahamian Sweetheart 101. Bahamian Sweetheart never done. Bahamian Sweetheart 101. Bahamian Sweetheart just for fun. Bahamian Sweetheart 101. Bahamian Sweetheart never done. Bahamian Sweetheart 101. Bahamian Sweetheart just for fun. Whoa, whoa.
Now, Mr. Newry, when I found the song last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
I say I was looking for tracks off of KB's album,
mm-hmm.
new album, Cuba. He hadn't put out an album in a long time.
Yeah.
Some of these tracks have been out for a little while, put out as singles. When I found this song, right, I thought, this is nice. I want people to hear it because it is a mix of, it's a fusion mm-hmm. of sounds, right? You definitely mm-hmm. get, I want to say Cuban kind of sound.
It's a merengue.
Right, merengue.
And, but it's an old Bahamian tune.
Yeah.
Right? I try and to remember the song. Dun 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 dun. And I was trying to remember what song that came from.
And then he was rapping.
Mm.
In the song, right? Like that would be like the evolution of a Joseph Spence or a Blind Blake rap style.
I think they call it scat, but yeah.
Do you call it rapping?
Yeah, call it scat.
But do you call it rapping?
Rapping, okay, rapping.
I think they celebrating 50 years of hip hop without us.
Without us.
No. Anyway, mm-hmm. scatting is a part of the evolution to mm-hmm. hip hop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was just a cool sound. I wanted to play
it. It is definitely an old flair. It's a very Caribbean West Indian.
Style. Right.
You could see like a minstrel, someone with a guitar, palm trees flowing.
And walking through and the tourists through. And Bahamians mm-hmm. on the bay,
mm-hmm.
having their cocktails, mm-hmm. singing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at today's paper.
Go ahead.
Today's Tribune, and I see Darville, we must prevent DNA fraud. And so, I mean, I don't have to get deep into it, right? Yeah. I just like the way that sometimes you could find songs providing commentary and speaking to the issues that we are dealing with today.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know you have musicians.
Who speak all the time.
They speaking on what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Darville, we must prevent DNA fraud. This is in the front of today's Tribune. Genetic testing rules necessary to ensure lab sample integrity. I'm going to put aside that Darville is not saying anything that we don't know.
Yes.
Right? Like, this is what we expect.
One would assume that the DNA testing is done efficiently. Because you don't want to make a mistake with that, eh?
Right. At all. This is an extremely important thing.
But I'll ask you this.
Yeah.
And mind you, we have two sides of the show. Is there a government entity that does DNA testing in the Bahamas?
Is there an entity that is responsible for DNA testing?
Government-funded entity. Mm-hmm. Like the public clinic,
right?
The hospital, the Princess Margaret Hospital, a government entity,
right?
Because the reason why I asked that, because all of the DNA testing I do see seems to be private companies,
right? Right, absolutely.
And how can the government regulate or ensure that full procedures are being carried out in private companies when they don't have their own to manage it and regulate it?
This is interesting. Well, first of all, the government can regulate any industry in the country.
Mm.
In fact, the government should reach out to every industry, all the stakeholders, anyone, and engage them about regulations, whether they are self-regulating in their space, right? And they should, I don't want to say provide oversight, but they should engage in oversight, right, to ensure that, A, the industry doesn't need external support, right, in that sense, like how the taxi union reached out to the Ministry of Transportation and said, hey, I think we need a code of ethics to govern this taxi space, because the union membership is not mandatory. So even if the union had a code of ethics, non-union members wouldn't be necessarily obligated to follow that code of ethic, right? So you reach out to the Ministry of Transport and you say, hey, we need a regulatory type regime. We need something, a code of ethics, something to govern the space, either because we don't govern everyone in the space or we are unable to govern the space.
Then I will say this to you. Who is the audience that Dr. Davril is speaking to? Because he cannot be speaking to us, the common man, who, because we don't do testing.
Well, now you're talking to, I think he's, I see your point. I think he's talking to a number of constituents in the conversation.
And I would assume the constituents in the conversation will be those persons who do the testing?
Well, they're definitely the private entities that are currently offering the service.
Then one would assume that the space, the spatial awareness of where you make such announcements, how you interact with these people, should have been a more of an intimate setting.
True, but perhaps that follows, right? That's subsequent to this announcement.
So
if it is an announcement.
This announcement is for whom again? Where a simple letter to all of the agencies or constituents say, hey, we will in the immediate future, we will have some regulations coming into place. I want to have a meeting with all those who are vested and want to know what is your best practices and compare them to what is international best practices. Mm-hmm. And so when I go to the public, I will be making an announcement that actually matters, where I could benefit. Because like I said, I'm not sure who he's speaking to. He can't be speaking to me.
Well, I mean, no, because he's a good married man. And the question of DNA should never come up. I put that aside, because he could be speaking to the public.
How?
As well. Because who gets the DNA tested, members of the public?
Well, we don't test the DNA, the test ourselves. We go to a prescribed place and say, man, I need to get tested.
Now, but the question is, are there home DNA kits where you could collect the DNA matter yourself and then send it to the company, then you ship it off, right? I say that to say this. Mm-hmm. I know we're not having a Maury-style conversation this morning, audience, but after watching Maury for a number of years, I've come to the conclusion that by the time that woman has reached the 15th potential baby father, it should be clear to everybody that fraud has taken place somewhere in that process, and somebody didn't take the test. They let their friend take the test. Mm. And they were possibly the father, but we never know because they didn't actually take the test, right? I think that may have been in the early, very, very, very early days of those style shows.
Perhaps we need to invite someone who manages, own, operates a DNA testing service.
Well, you know what?
And go through that process, step one, step two, step three.
Ian Thomas is a regular guest on the foundation with Howard Grant. Mm-hmm. And Ian markets for companies that provide that service. So maybe we can ask Ian Thomas to link us with some of the companies to have them come on and talk about what it is they do, why it's important, right? Whether they self-regulate in the industry, whether they follow any international standards for testing, if there are any local regulations, even if it's minimal, governing the space, and how it operates.
But let's talk the reason why a Minister Davril would have brought this conversation up.
Mm-hmm.
I assume in the conversation about citizenship.
Yeah.
Right? And we given citizenship via men passing on their citizenship, and they trying to implement this DNA testing to ensure integrity.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not sure how all of this is going to work, right? What legislation they plan to implement. Even, let me get better, that's me. Even whether it's constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Can you force a man to give his DNA?
Right, and this is it, right? Like that, this is why I wanted to have the conversation.
Especially a child I don't want.
Not for the salacious aspects of it, right? But there are real human rights considerations that are involved in this conversation and that the government will have to weigh out. And because it's a human rights consideration, I think that it's a conversation that has to be brought to the public. There has to be a degree of public consultation on this, right? Because like you raised, there is the mother's right to privacy. Like, does the mother have a right to keep private the names or the identities of the people that she has been sexually intimate with, right? Does that right...
See, that's complicated. Let's can create a scenario.
Yeah.
There is a mother who's having a child, right? And one of her partners saying, I believe that this child belongs to me. And she is saying that, no, this is Harry's child.
Mm-hmm.
Harry is my mean man.
Yeah.
And I have no reason to doubt that this is Harry's child. And me, who's a bypasser, said, no, I be in there. I need you to have a DNA test on that child.
Well, right.
I won't clean my child.
You just said it. She said you don't have, right, there's no reason to believe it's your child. But the fact that you've been there, the fact that you were sexually intimate is all of the reason. It's all of the reason.
Creating a new scenario.
Yeah.
A married woman, whatever issues being break up with her husband, let's put that in.
Or just mad, right? Yeah.
Had relations, but she got pregnant and she said that this is my husband. And her husband said, I accept it. Mm-hmm. This is my child. And this outside man comes and says, no. I be in there once while y'all was separated.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to test this child. Right? As a mother, as a married woman with a husband, I should have a right to say, no, my child. This child doesn't belong to you. What court can force me to turn over my child for any DNA testing?
Because he was there. And I think that should be sufficient for a test.
Then I put it in this scenario. I'm now 18, 19, adult.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman is saying that he's my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I know my daddy already. And can he force me to get a DNA to say that my daddy, who I thought was my daddy, right? And he won't prove that he is my daddy. Can he force me to give DNA?
Now that's an interesting one because now you're an adult. You're not a minor.
But the minor is overseered by the parents, the mother and the father.
And so there's a question of paternity, right? So there's a question of, well, who are the parents?
But the mother has no question. She said it belongs to my husband.
But if the man proves and then how do you prove that you were intimate with her, right? But the man says, hey, I was intimate with this woman, and I suspect that this is my child.
I don't like this idea of forcing people to take no DNA test. No.
Audacity. Don't think about it as forcing people
to
take a DNA test. Think about it as forcing people to consider the rights of others.
I just could say no.
And then the question is, do they have a right? And so here's a consideration. Like, I appreciate those examples. Does a child have a right to know in the face of a mother and a father who says, we have a right to privacy?
Yes.
To their child. You don't even get to know who your father is, right? Like, does a child's right to know their father, their lineage, their bloodline, right? Does that outweigh, or is it outweighed by, coming to you right now, caller. Coming right now by a parent's right to privacy. Good morning, caller.
Good morning to you and to Nuri, Ms. Green.
Hey.
Fiala Johnson. I think you guys are complicating a simple process that has been tested around the world. There's a number of issues we have in the Bahamas, and I can tell you, even mothers of children women who've claimed to be mothers of children in the Bahamas may not necessarily be the mothers due to circumstances. And this has been proven. I don't have to repeat it in immigration and otherwise.
Yes.
Because, for instance, we see boats coming in all the time from countries, emphasis countries, from the south, or children coming by plane. And they're unattended, but somehow, miraculously, they end up having a mother in the Bahamas. And so, because no one contests that, they simply grow up or say, this is my mother, maybe an aunt, maybe just be a friend of the family, whatever. So there's some problems because we didn't have safeguards in place. But
so one second, C. Allen. So you're saying that there's an element that we haven't even addressed in our conversation this morning, which is the proof of maternity in yes. matters of immigration and migration.
Yes.
I got you.
And these are separate issues from multiple things when we have a tendency of blending them. But let me just talk about... you know, we talk about the rights of the children, the international mm-hmm. agreements that we signed and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something myself and Cleaver Duncombe has been arguing for two decades, the right of a child, the right of a child to know his father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this complexity that we bring into it, of that every child has a father and every child has a right to a father.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can invoke DNA. And so... like in the U.S., in some states, they have a concept called loser pays. If you invoke DNA and the woman says that I'm not the father and I sue for it and I'm proven to be not be the father, I pay the cost of those DNA tests.
Okay.
If she's proven to be wrong, then she pays the cost of it.
Okay.
But I think DNA is the ultimate determination as of today of parentage.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be an automatic instance to basically assign the right of a child. This goes into a wider conversation that the women groups don't have concerning shared custody.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when a child is born and DNA or fatherhood, is paternity is being established, we also need to update our laws to have what is called immediately shared custody, meaning that we both have custody of the child. However, one becomes the primary custodian. And that issue itself become even separate from support. And so when we blend these things, it begins to become complex. But these are simple issues. Okay, child is born. Who's the mother? Who's the father? DNA brings the ultimate authority in that. Then you now go to, okay, who will have primary custody? The mother or who's best equipped for the primary custody? And so we don't need to complicate everything. If a woman is being accused of infidelity during the marriage, because we have the presumption of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But the husband itself should also have a right to question the paternity, because there's no absolute in custody of his wife at any given time to prove wherever she is.
Absolutely.
And so it isn't like, oh, we're violating something. It's definitely not a constitutional issue, because the police and other different things collect DNA, and that itself also needs to be addressed. What we say my primary concern of DNA is?
Yes, sir. And then we get
chain of custody. Chain of custody.
Well, listen.
So what I'm saying is this.
I,
when you take my DNA from my child, does it go into some public database so the police can have access to it and other people become access and everything? Those are the rules we need to establish in legislation.
As well. Absolutely.
And with violation. And so we need to just have a real conversation rather than some boogeyman phantom type environment.
Man, but see, is that what we do in Seattle, or we just fleshing out the issues?
You're creating scenarios and things that is non-issues.
No, man.
Mothers and... I mean, how it becomes an issue if a husband doubts the child is his, even though he has presumption of
a paternity
of child.
Yeah.
It becomes a non-issue. He has the right. If he wants to pay for it, because remember now,
how it stands in the Bahamas?
No. Yes, I'm saying to you. The problem is when DNA, like in the U.S. and other places, there's an identification process to make sure that you're testing the right person.
Right.
So that the husband doesn't just take a DNA. He has a right, you know, because you don't need, nobody need to swab his kid and swab himself and send it off. But then that should not be acceptable in court.
Right.
Unless that could be you up. But you have rules to set chain of custody and ID verification, which is separate. I could just pick up my child. But say, let me go pick him to Burger King. Swab his cheeks. Do the test. It comes back. Guess what? Negative. that still is not viable in court.
Exactly.
Now I need to go and demand a one within the system to authenticate what I already know.
Absolutely. Thank you,
okay.
Kid. Thank you, C. Allen.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I do think, though, that they're not boogeyman issues. These are things that people are living with right now.
What do you mean in the system?
He means a regulated, he's not a home kit. A test that's a
part. Do we have a regular kit here in the Bahamas?
I think we may have home kits. We may have, or people could fly them in. You could buy one abroad and bring it home.
And send it to where?
And then you send it back to the States.
And then they send it back here?
Right.
So that's complicated.
It is. Let's go to this next caller, though, because I think they're calling back. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
A pleasant calling, Mr. McScreen.
Good morning, Sparky. How you doing?
George Orwell once said in God and Animals Farm, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
You ain't talking about us women, eh?
No.
Okay, just checking.
At the end of my conversation, if you give me more than 30 seconds.
I'll give you 45.
45. The sea island is more equal than us. But anyway, my phone rang so much it went up busy. I had to call back.
I thank you. I know. I see it. That's I rush him. You see, I rush him.
See, I'll let them tell the host, hold on.
Yeah.
They take over the show. But anyway, talking about this DNA and everything like that, when you say people are living with that now,
mm-hmm.
One time ago growing up, this was a very, very quiet neighborhood, country, calling itself a Christian nation. And people, the old people knew that in churches, children were born, and they could tell it wasn't the husband owned.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a case where we have three prominent people with three different names rose to high ranks in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you know who they are, too.
Yes.
You know, I guess what I'm talking about.
They told
everyone got a different name.
They told their stories publicly.
But they say they're brothers.
They are?
Okay. Now, I grew up, and I always say, you always can't miss it. I'm 72.
Mm-hmm.
All my life, I grew up in a house with a mother and a father. I was 50 years old. I remember my brother, God bless his dad, asked me to meet him by Chico's on Blue Hill Road one Friday evening to have one or two of those brown bottles. And we sitting there. And one day, this friend of ours that I know from a child growing up came to sit at the table with me and my brother, Kip Pender. He said, Sparky, I tired of you going around here calling yourself Gene Sparky Fountain. You know, you ain't no fountain. You was a so-and-so. And then he hit me, I look at my brother. I said, what are you talking about? My brother say, well, brother, what you worrying about? Your ma dead, your pa dead, and take him from everybody he dead. I say, but that's not the point. When I go to the doctor, they give me this form to fill out, and they ask you what your parents suffered from and what they died from.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say, this fella died from kidney failure, that one died from the one, bronchitis, and the next one died from sugar, I don't know which one is which, and I don't know what I sick with.
Yeah.
Because I don't get the right DNA. Nobody told us about DNA when we was growing up back then. That was something you didn't even know about.
Yeah.
So people going around right around here right nowadays, I wondered why I was in government high, and this group of people used to always call me, hey, cuz.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought they was joking, just like, hey, cuz, or hey, bro.
But they know they was your family.
And then when I found out after that, I went searching. And I went searching down behind the corner, behind the Fountain of Youth bar on East Street. And there's the back there, here's this woman telling me she is my cousin. And me and my sister belong to this other fellow who was an Adari.
Oh, boy.
In the house.
Sparky.
Me and my sister belong to the other one.
Sparky, I get it.
And look here, Miss McGrain. So I start searching. Then she starts bringing out the picture.
So long, 45 seconds.
Like, oh, look at this picture. Look at you. Look at your sister. Look at this fella.
Sparky, I got to go, but I will play one song.
No,
I'm playing that one. I played something I know y'all ain't here before.
But I know the Fox still got us my red aunt because that's my ma's sister. I know my ma's my ma. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So I didn't do the right job. I got to find a song for my producer. It is by Duke Hannah. It is the Small Hope Bay Carnival featuring Duke Hannah. Y'all give me 1 second, Mr. Newry.
I'll talk in the meantime while you do that, right?
The text you just sent me about the Child Protection Act.
Oh, you could read that. But I mean, my concern is
mm-hmm.
the issue of DNA. I assume the reason why Minister Darvill brought this up is over the citizenship issue that we're having. Not necessarily that people are searching to find out if this is the child is their own or not their own. My concern is, who should demand the DNA testing? Should it be the Bahamian man, or should it be the immigrant woman for her child? So that's my concern. Who should be of the demand?
Yeah.
But anyway, we have a song. Who's the song here?
This is Dukana. It's a small Hope Bay. This isn't the song, but this is a beautiful song by Dukana. This is Small Hope Bay, I think it's called. If y'all ever been to North Andrus, if you ever go, you got to take a stop. Take a turn off and go to Small Hope Bay. It is a beautiful, beautiful place. The song I'm trying to find, though, Mr. Nuri, is called Chinese Children. It's the one I played the other day. I didn't know we was going to be having this conversation this week. Sometimes these songs are so hard to find, though. And that's because we don't have a proper cataloging of our music. That's another classic. I just sent it to you. Kermit, Dukana has, I mean, Mr. Nuri, just the same conversation we're having. We don't know enough about ourselves. And that's why this conversation is so important. This song, I've just found it, is called Chinese Children. Now, to Chinese Bahamian members of our community, the Chinese residents in our community, song make me feel a little uncomfortable, but I have to remember a sense of time when it was sung. Y'all listen to the song.
It's about 10 months the girl ain't kissed me, and the bold faced woman does tell me that any kind of child is born in my house, I'm the father. That's why a shame doesn't tell nobody when I need children, pardon me, daddy. No, me mommy don't want to beat me well. I need children, pardon me, daddy. I dark and I pretty and the children so ugly. I need children, pardon me, daddy. Left, right, in front and behind me. I've been held up in 1950, 3 months in the way, but annoying to me. I'm so stupid and woman crazy, and notice at all, she making a baby. She started getting stouter and stouter, and made a Chinese child 6 months after. She's telling me that I am the father, and only 3 months, I know the gal melda, and that's why Ashima doesn't tell nobody when I need children calling me daddy.
This is decades ago, right? This is decades ago that this song was produced, but it speaks to what we're talking about, right? These dynamics that people live with and have been dealing with. I really wish Dukana was alive so I could sit with him and ask him why you write the song and why did you write it the way you did, and what were the social dynamics at the time, and was the song well accepted, right? And then how did the Chinese, Bahamians of Chinese descent, how did they feel about the song even, right? Like, I want to know that too. But to say, MC Allen, I really appreciated the contribution you made this morning. I don't want you to think that I'm dissing you. But what comes up for me most, Mr. Nuri, is that I don't think we understand the extent of the work that is required to implement policies, right? To understand the culture that the current behavior is rooted in. Because that's why you have a new policy. You have a new policy because you want to shift behavior and shift culture, right? So a part of this policy creation work is understanding the culture that you're trying to engage and the behavior and the culture and the attitudes that you're trying to shift. And we can't do that if we are refusing to acknowledge our behavior. But I don't think we are refusing necessarily to acknowledge it. Somebody sent this in. I want to read it. It's from the Child Protection Act. It's the application. It's the provision speaking to the application for declaration of paternity. It's section 9. Subsection 1 says, any person who, A, being a woman, alleges that any named person is the father of a child, or B, alleges that the relationship of father and child exists between himself and any other person, or C, being a person having a proper interest in the result, wishes to have it determined whether the relationship in father and child exists between two named persons, may apply in such other manner as may be prescribed by rules of court to the court for a declaration of paternity. And if it is proved to the satisfaction of the court that the relationship exists, the court may make a declaration of paternity whether or not the father of the child or both of them are living or dead. So this is saying a woman who alleges that a man is the father of a child could request a paternity test. A man who believes that a child is his can request a paternity test. And a person having a proper interest in the result wishes to have it determined. They can.
And this is why I'm uneasy, Aaron. I'm not sure if someone can force me to give my DNA to prove that this child who I do not want is mine.
No, not
my my body fluids. My body fluids is mine.
Right. Someone can't force you, but the court
can force me to give my DNA.
Already, like that exists in law now.
I see another person who. See, imagine this, right?
One second.
Go ahead.
I forget to give out the numbers for this morning, Yuri.
What numbers?
To call in.
Everyone don't know the numbers. We have regular callers.
Yeah, we do.
Sparky knew the number. Yeah. How come Sparky knew the number?
Because he's dedicated.
He's dedicated.
Absolutely.
So give her the number then.
323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for people not in New Providence, but in the Bahamas. Listen, call in. My hour, Nuri's hour. Call in. I'm sorry it takes so long for me to put the numbers out there this morning. I didn't think the conversation was going to get this juicy.
I'm just more concerned about people forcing me to give my DNA.
It's a human rights issue.
Now, my concern now is, if I'm married, but I'm separated from my wife.
Yeah.
My wife doing whatever she got to do because we're separated, and she has the child. Isn't that my child? Yeah. Even though it's not my child?
What do you mean? Because you married, because it's your child.
Married.
And the child is yours because of the marriage, right?
By law.
By law. Yeah, still your child. You still got to pay maintenance.
So even if I do a DNA, the child's still mine, eh? Seemed.
We don't know. You got to do the test to be certain. We're going to go to a break. This is another song from KB off his new album, Cuba. Sailboat, sailboat. We're going to a break. We come in right back.
When it comes to sailing, boy, island man don't play. Sail them in the harbor, I sail them up and down. I sail them up to Porky and cycle back around. So
sailboats are essential for new and returning students. Vaccines also protect fellow students, teachers, staff, and other members of the community from serious illnesses and even death. As you begin your back-to-school preparations, ensure that your children's vaccinations are up to date. All vaccines are available at all public health clinics.
This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and USAID.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Thank you. stand. Smoking proud to be a Bohemian. I born there, I born there.
Tell them that you born there.
I born there, I born there.
Tell them that you born there.
My groomer meet my groomer dear.
Good morning and welcome back, welcome back. Let me take this moment to, I want to say good morning to Cleaver Duncombe, who has been doing men's rights work for decades now, and father's rights work. He's been a father's rights advocate for decades now. And say good morning to Cleaver Duncombe and give him a shout. See, Alan already called your name this morning. Because this is a big, big conversation, Mr. Newry. We're talking the number of issues that have arisen in the pieces of legislation that you've shown me during the break that suggest that this is a real big conversation that we need to be having at a national level, and we have to question the extent to which men's rights have not even been considered in the... I won't say creation of policy, but in the public discourse around this issue, right? I see we got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful, and good morning, C.A. Newry.
That's me.
I hope both of you all have taken your medication this morning, a 6 ounce glass of your aloe concoction. I hope so.
Yes, sir.
I hope so, because Mama baked the Johnny cake coming, and I need both of you all well during the Christmas.
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, Newry, you ever been to college, Newry?
Yeah, I don't claim it, though.
I you can't claim it, because, Newry, I be trying to pick up with your smart people. Why sometimes you all say some weird things, like if you married to somebody and you all in together and she go out there and get fooling around, the baby's ought to buy yours. No, that's not so.
I'm just reading the law right now. Well, I can read it to you now. Hold on.
You really, y'all better be cooperative.
Hold on. Let me see if I can find that. Because I'm reading these things and saying, that's why I asked the question.
You got to be cooperative. Y'all got to be living together.
Hold on. Let me go ahead. Finish it. I'll tell you if I can.
Other than that, you could challenge that. And you could just let whoever know she gave or this baby. Me and this woman ain't been together for X amount of sleep together for bam, bam, bam.
So you say part three. Part three.
You're living in the same house.
Mm-hmm. Say part.
You could have a problem.
Part three of the establishment of paternity. B, the person was married to the mother of the child, and that marriage was terminated by death or judgment of nutality within 280 days before the birth of the child or by divorce, where the decree nisi was granted within 280 days before the birth of the child. They say that child is yours.
Yeah, but what happened to one of the parents?
It's divorce or death.
So they give you a time frame.
280 days.
After cohabitation, that the child possibly could be yours.
Yep. Say that child is not possibly. You say the child is yours.
Understandable.
So they know.
The woman that break up 6 months ago, she just having a child within the next couple of months. That's a good possibility.
Yeah, so that child is yours.
But that woman had been out there 2-3 years.
And for example, if same example, the woman is carrying my surname, right? She had the child. What the surname of the child would be?
Well, that you need to find out who that is.
The child belongs to the mother.
Huh?
The child belongs to the mother.
Well, that chick, I care about the surname then.
The mother's surname has my name.
Well, in that case, then I guess your name to get used.
That's my point. That's what we're talking about now.
Now, in the United States, I've seen examples in the United States where men who have had it determined that the child is actually not theirs after they've separated or divorced from the mother of the child, have petitioned the court to have the child's name changed and to have their name
but
removed.
But that's possible. Yeah. That's the way it should go. In terms of men and DNAs and having to be a part of the process in terms of mentioning Aaron, I don't really, really, really have a problem on the side of a man, you know, because we know what we do, how we do, when we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you come to the state with a child and the conditions are straightforward, then the state requires certain things, Nuri. You got to do a DNA test if you want, blah, blah, blah. But that shouldn't be no problem.
No one can force me to take no DNA test.
That's why I say if you come, it's just like if you could buy a brand new car. You love this car, but that car can't go the road unless you meet certain requirements for the state. That's all. You ain't got to take it, but you just can't get your car on the road.
I would know what they can charge me with.
What do you mean what they can charge you with?
Well, and I think that's what Darville is speaking to in the article, right? That they are...
What they can charge me with?
Something.
You mean for putting the car on the road?
My thing is, my car on the road and me being free. The Constitution allowed me to walk on the road.
Oh, no, you can walk on the road. That's all I'm saying. If you bring a child, like the woman say, okay, this is your child.
And I said, that's
you
not my
child.
You want
to take care of the child, right?
No, but I don't want to take care of the child. I do not want to take care of the child.
So take the test and prove that it's
I
not your child.
I don't take no test.
Exactly.
Just prove
you
it.
Guys
take
the test
and prove it's not your child.
I don't want to take no test.
Did you think about that when you had engaged in the act? And then this is the cultural space now, right?
That's them lying woman.
If you don't know that if you have engaged in sexual intimacy with a woman that you can get her pregnant,
exactly.
If you don't know that you're not mature enough to engage in sexual intimacy with a woman.
And if you go to court,
sex have new maturity.
If you go to court, the court can force him to take the DNA like
how
you say.
They can force me?
What's like
court order.
Court
order.
And what is it going to put me in jail? For how long? For life?
If you want to stay in jail.
No, can't keep me in jail
but
for life.
So here's the question.
And I ain't get found guilty?
As an adult, as a man, as a woman, as an adult, do you not think that the child's right to know is more important than your right to privacy?
Exactly.
Forget the woman. Forget how you
my
feel about the woman.
Constitutional right. Trump, everyone's constitutional right. It's not my right. It's Trump. That's how it is.
You say America, that ain't how the rights work.
We have our own constitution.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Nuri, he's talking to you.
You have a constitutional right, Nuri. Keep your things in your pants, man.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, all right.
Look here. Look at the wisdom. Did you know that a man, you have a right to not engage in sexual intimacy at all? But in particular, you have the right to not engage in sexual intimacy with anyone you don't want to have a child with.
I don't see how a foreign
That's
woman...
That's your rights.
A foreign woman can tell me I gotta take a DNA test to prove that this foreign child belongs to me.
When you say foreign, what if it's a Bahamian woman who tell you?
But this is a foreign woman we're talking about. This is a constitutional thing.
No, this is a Bahamian thing.
They force me to take no blood test to say that's my child.
I want to introduce you.
She and her foreign child need to go.
I'm going to introduce you to my friend, the Quartz.
The Quartz thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, guys, thank you for joining us this morning. I got a text here. Someone said, listen, somebody told me the story about Small Hope, that song, a long time, but I forget. Good morning to everyone. Thank you for calling. Sorry I threw out the numbers so late. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next. Let's see if I can get him to play some of these songs for us. Since we spend so much time talking this morning.
That baby ain't mine. It don't look like me. That's Harry Owen. Don't blame Harry.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.